Bill Barty. We're back on the Carolina. That's outdoor. And earlier you mentioned the Riverside Fest out at Belmont this weekend.
Oh, that's right. I got my flyer right here. Riverside Fest, September 8th. That's today, 3 to 8 p.m. if you're listening on a Saturday. Of course, some people are listening to us via podcast wherever podcasts are heard. Head over there, subscribe to the Carolina Outdoors, and also review us if you like us, and that'll help other people find us and enjoy us as well. But the Riverside Fest over at Riverside Marina in Belmont, North Carolina, live music, food trucks, local beer and cider, kayaks, and more. Our friends from Jesse Brown's are going to be on hand as well, so we might have a fly rod or two out there fly casting in the trees or in the grass or in the – maybe they'll even let us near the water. We'll see. And, Don, earlier I told you about sneaking up to Lake Norman State Park and enjoying a little bit of the lakeside of that water. Of course, the Catawba River is such an ever popular breadth of water through our whole community, and for over 20 years the Catawba River Keeper has been educating and advocating to protect the Catawba and watery river basins, lakes, rivers, and streams for everyone who depends on those and enjoys them. And we're going to invite the executive director of the Catawba River Keeper onto the Carolina Outdoors right now. M. Sirwich, welcome to the Outdoor Guys.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, I just said all that stuff for the past 20 years or so, but let's just jump right in there. This has to be one of the toughest jobs in showbiz right now with the growing population of the region around here, ever-growing construction, development, and the recreational demands on the waterways of the Catawba River and Watery River basins. Tell us about that challenge over the past 20 years and how the Riverkeeper has evolved with that.
Certainly. Well, a lot of people don't realize this, but the Catawba Watery River is actually one of the most endangered rivers in America. And the work that we do at the Catawba Riverkeeper Foundation is to work with those things that make us endangered, like you mentioned, development, power production, factory farming, all that kind of stuff. We work in those issues on a state and local law and policy level and a grassroots level to sort of combat their negative impact on the river. And what we're seeing is that over time, what we're doing is working, and we want to keep that up. But one of our biggest challenges is awareness. You know, for anyone who lives in and around Charlotte, you understand that the river is a good bit of distance away from Charlotte. And so a lot of folks don't easily access the river to recreate, to enjoy it. And so that physical distance also creates this sort of mental distance that we have from our natural resources, especially water, which we depend on so much, and where we are. And so one of the points of us having an event like Riverside Fest is to give people an easy and fun excuse to get out on the river, near the river, and just to have a relaxing, fun time, and hopefully just learn a little bit about their proximity to water and their reliance on it, and then maybe care a little bit more about protecting it the next time around. So, yes, it's to have fun, but it's also to bring people out there so that they can enjoy something that they don't typically get to enjoy.
Well, so you said one of the most endangered, but for our listeners, would you paint us a picture or an idea geographically of the Catawba Watery River Basin? How many counties, or from which to where, north to south? What does that encompass?
Definitely. So the Catawba Watery River is 225 miles long. It runs from Ridgecrest, North Carolina, to Lake Marion, South Carolina. And it is contained in or touches 26 counties in both North and South Carolina. And so it's a pretty big area if you think about it in terms of just where you are. But if you look at river basins all over the world, we're actually a pretty small to medium-sized river basin. And our river is interesting because we, despite being 225 miles long, we only have about 50 miles of free-flowing river remaining. The rest of our river is actually impounded. And we have 11 man-made lakes or impoundments and 14 dams. And those are essential for power production and, you know, water intakes and things, and drinking water, but that over time has sort of stopped up the free-flowing nature of our river. So that's something else that we work around and deal with. And it's great. It's created lake communities, and a lot of people get to enjoy the river like they never would have. But it also comes with some environmental challenges. And, you know, we were the first river in America totally developed for power production. So we also have this, you know, really interesting history with that as well. So that's a little bit about, you know, sort of the scope and the history of the Catawba.
I'm going to ask this question. I don't have anybody from Duke Energy here, but they are an integral part of the Catawba River because of what you mentioned. What is the relationship with the Catawba River Keeper and Duke Energy? Is it adversarial, or is it kind of a partnership, or is it a mixture of both?
Yes. It's a mixture of both, I would say. We have, you know, on the one hand, Duke Energy and their lake management division, they are in charge of managing all of our impoundments and release dam releases, flows. If there's ever, a drought, Duke kind of manages, you know, lake levels and what happens in the event of a drought. And they work closely with the local municipalities that take in water to, you know, give drinking water and household water to around 2.4 million people. So we have a relationship with them, a good relationship in the fact, you know, in the way that when they, in the course of their managing the river, we work side by side with them, and we have good relationships with those folks. Our relationship is adversarial with them in the way that one of the largest threats to the Catawba Watery River and the 2.4 million people that rely on drinking water from it is the massive amount of coal ash impoundments that are sitting along the banks of the river. And we are one of the organizations leading the fight to clean up coal ash. And in that way, we are litigating against Duke Energy to make that happen. And so it's adversarial in that regard. But we have a lot of day-to-day communications and relationships with folks at Duke that are great. So it's a complicated relationship, but, you know, Duke Energy provides an amazing service to millions of people, and they give philanthropically to the community. And they're a huge employer in the area. Overall, Duke is probably a great company. It's just that this, you know, issue with coal ash has not been resolved, and that's what we're working toward.
We got it. We got the Catawba River Keeper Foundation Executive Director on with the Outdoor Guys here on the Carolina Outdoors, M. Sarah, which is with us. And M., switching gears but still talking about water and water fights, they have had water fights, for lack of a better term, in communities like Georgia, Alabama, and I think about the Atlanta urban area with the Chattahoochee, shared waterways, that sort of thing. Has that topic been elevated in our area at all, or do you foresee that becoming an issue as the Charlotte region grows and uses more and more water coming out of this urban area in that 225 miles?
You know, I do. You brought up Atlanta, and actually, yeah, we talk about Atlanta, but if you remember back in 2007, you know, there was a terrible drought here in the southeast, and it affected Atlanta very seriously, and it affected Charlotte pretty seriously. In fact, we have this great photo that shows the water intake in Belmont. And they were just a few hours essentially away from running out of water back in 2007 because of that drought. And so we've been threatened before, and it seems like droughts are occurring closer and closer together. And it's not necessarily because of just rain scarcity. We think of drought as rain scarcity, but the reality is the recipe for drought is rain scarcity plus development. You know, when you have less groundwater infiltration because you've got more impervious surface like sidewalks, buildings, roads, you're going to experience drought more poignantly and more frequently. And that's what we're seeing happen. In fact, you know, I just talked to the folks at the North Carolina Wildlife Federation, and they mentioned that they estimate we're in the greater Charlotte area, region rather, we are losing about 130 acres a day of natural space to development. And that's roughly about a football field a day. We're taking away natural space and putting some form of impervious surface. And that's really impacting the river, both in water quality and water quantity. So we just want to make sure that what our organization advocates anyway is that we, as a city and as individual households, start to, you know, implement water conservation measures just naturally. In 2015, Duke Energy and 18 municipalities created this group called the Catawba Watery Water Management Group, and they released a 2015 plan, the Catawba Watery Water Management Plan. It's kind of a mouthful, but in it, they predicted that the deadline by which the Catawba Watery River could no longer meet the demands of Charlotte's growing population was 2048. That's, you know, that's not that far away, 2048. And they're implementing or considering implementing some measures like increasing lake levels a bit that would extend that deadline, but that is by no means a solution. And so what we're trying to figure out is how can Charlotte grow? And how can the climate change, and how can we still rely on the river to meet all of our needs? So that's going to be a complicated issue that we experience here in the next 30 to 50 to 100 years, but it is something that's on our radar for sure.
All right. We have a little quiz for you as we finish up talking to the Catawba Riverkeeper Executive Director, M. Sierowicz. And, Em, you're kind of a Renaissance woman of sorts. You're a chemist, an environmentalist, an attorney, a classically trained pianist. You're all of those things. But earlier in the segment, we talked to Jim, or earlier in another segment, we talked to Jim Zocchi. Here's your test.
Okay.
The Panthers on November 18th are playing the Detroit Lions. Who do you cheer for as a Michigan gal from way back?
Look, I have not been a fair weather fan. I have cheered for the Lions my entire life, and it has been just a lesson in patience for me. So I'm gonna keep cheering for the Lions.
You just
that
failed this
mean
test.
I'm super optimistic.
You just failed the test.
Wrong answer.
I'm gonna stand by them.
Listen, everybody, for more information, head over to CatawbaRiverkeeper.org or sneak over to Belmont, North Carolina, September 8th. That's Saturday today, 3 to 8 p.m. for Riverside Fest. Em, thank you so much for joining the Outdoor Guys.
Thank you.